News, sports, weather from Dr. Bill Williams, traffic info from Kane, and one of the Gulf Coast's most familiar voices. It's Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Arwig.
Good morning from Dan and Dalton. 7 minutes after 8 o'clock on FM Talk 106.5. On the first Friday of the boat show, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, the Mobile Boat Show downtown Mobile at the Arthur R. Outlaw Convention Center. I think we're about to learn a good bit of what maybe some things that you just assumed you knew, but maybe you don't, and this would be a good way to get brushed up on it.
Yeah, sure enough. Hold on here.
There we go.
Put me on. Yeah, there we go. When we add the third mic in, curveball sometimes. It is a great time as we head out to the boat show. Perfect weekend also, and I thought this would be a great time to talk a bit about how to stay safe on the water, first off, as we head into boating season, and also how the law can be different on the water and is different on the water than it is on land. And no better person to talk with that about than local personal injury lawyer Desi Tobias with Tobias and Comer Law. And Desi, I've been friends with you. We've been talking about stuff like this for years now here on this station. But as we head into that season, it's time to start thinking about boating and being safe, right?
It is. Good to see you, Dalton and Dan. Everybody's boat, they hadn't looked at it since September. You know, everybody's always worried about boats, and we're into the season now.
Yeah, it's crawled out of their football cave, and now it's back to – it's football in the fall, and now it's boating once again.
Exactly. The waterways will be just like – it'll be a traffic jam soon, and it is the time to think about safety. There are rules applicable specifically to how – you know, the operation of boats and things like that. There's the boating rules of the road about when you overtake a vessel, which vessel has the right of way, things like that. Of course, the boating under the influence laws and those type things. So, and always the things about personal flotation devices, whether you should or should not be wearing them. There are rules about that, but you have to have them, having the key on your wrist. You don't know what can happen and how important that is. But
we've heard some horror stories about that over the years. Sean had one time just a great interview with a man who, and I wish I could remember the specifics, but he didn't have that attached around his wrist, went to do something in the back of the boat, ended up in the water. Boat left him behind, and he tread water for a very long time, and thankfully was saved.
But that was south end of the county, or maybe right at the mouth of the bay.
I think you're right. But we've heard some of those stories previously. And Desi, I love, of course, America has a rich history and law in America, but maritime law, you've told me before, it has a very rich history, and the laws we still use still stretch back hundreds and hundreds of years.
Yeah, it is. You know, anytime something happens on water, it's that set of law. What we call the Admiralty laws, the General Maritime Law, and it's kind of not the state of Alabama laws. It's this General Maritime Law that takes precedence. It's mostly what we call the federal type law, and it does go back.
Goes back to England.
It goes back to England. There was a lot of experience. England was a huge naval. A maritime power, which is how we came about, and they went all across the world. But the King of England had certain things he wanted them to do, and that he didn't want them to do, and what things they should pay for and things they shouldn't. He didn't like to see the seamen come back and him have to take care of them. So some of those laws came when we started our country. We adopted a lot of those laws, the General Common Law of England, but that's what you look at. And, Mobile has a rich maritime history. It always amazes me. That's why we're here, and that's what's going to take us forward in the future is our port and everything it gives us. So it's fascinating to me as a lawyer to see that and watch it grow. But, it applies to the biggest ships coming in or jet ski. You know,
amazing.
A jet amazing. Ski is a vessel. And let me give you something that's always interested me, but there's something called the Limitation of Liability Act of 1851, and it limits the liability of an owner of a vessel to the value of the vessel in its damaged condition under certain circumstances. And it's very rare that it does apply, but we saw that in the Amtrak disaster where the Bayou Sara, where the vessel knocked the train off the track. It also, the Mobile River explosion, which I was very involved in, where there were vessels that blew up in the harbor, and a lot of people were injured, a lot of damage. That was a big Limitation Act issue. And so anyhow, where you don't even realize how it may come into play. But I mention that because a jet ski can limit his liability in certain circumstances to the value of the jet ski. But it gets complicated, but it's out there. But it just shows how, you know, things that apply going back to 1851 are still at play in what was a very prevalent thing with us, whether it's recreational or commercial or whatever.
Yeah, fascinating.
We're talking with Desi Tobias with Tobias and Comer Law, and I'm interested in, I mean, I know for a fact that not everyone that practices law has a focus or even really knows what's going on with maritime law. You're from here. You've been on the coast, you know, your whole life. What got you so interested in maritime law?
You know, when I was a little kid, we had a place over there at Mullet Point, Alabama. You know, we're just a little house. There used to be little camps back mm-hmm. then. And I would sit out in the wharf at night, and I'd watch those boats come up and down the channel. And I'd say, you know, one day I want to do something with that. And I wanted to be a lawyer, but I always hoped that I could have a focus in some way on maritime law. And it's really interesting. My son is now working in the maritime industry, and the vessels coming in and where they're coming from and all of the work that's involved and things like that. It's very interesting.
And that's another thing, you know, in addition to the port and everything, that makes our area so much different than others. And while we talked about recreational boating and actual working out there on the water, that,
like, even shrimpers.
Yeah, you've worked so many cases like that over the years, but we've got people coming in from all over. We've got employees on these boats coming in from other countries. I imagine it's a lot to keep up with, but you've seen cases like that over the years too, involving people who have either been injured or something's happened while they're out at work on water.
Yeah, and there is a set of laws, and some of that goes back to England too, about, you know, what the employer of a seaman, they're called seamen if they work and navigate, aid in navigation of a vessel, what the employer is supposed to do, and it's somewhat liberal. It's like the worker comp for seamen, you know, but I've been very familiar with that. But, you know, again, just for we have so much water traffic out there, just the recreational water traffic, you know, so many things can go wrong, and it's important to be safe. But, you know, if something does happen, it's this maritime law, which is different. You know, you could have something happen in Perdido Key in Florida, or it could be here mm-hmm. on the bay, but it's going to be that maritime law that's going to apply. The Coast Guard will investigate and things like that.
Well, I know a lot of folks who are going to be at the boat show this weekend, they're looking at those boats, which they'll use for leisure, whether it's fishing or just getting out on the water. And on your website, TobiasComerLaw.com, you have great resources, but one of those is kind of a checklist of getting yourself ready for boating season. And one of those things is to make sure you're ready. Make sure that boat's working and you're ready for spring. Obviously, you don't want to be held up doing that. PEDs or PFDs you brought up earlier, not PEDs, but that's for baseball, right? PFDs, 8 and younger, is that right? Children have to wear it 8
yes,
and younger,
yes.
But you have to have one for every person on the boat available.
That's right. And I love to see the little kids with the life jackets as big as they are sometimes,
yeah.
But it's really cute. It's so important. You go over and you just don't know. It's a second. Even the adults, though, you just don't know if you mm-hmm. go down and come back up.
Desi, tell us what here's boating season. We'll kick off, we'll say, with the boat show, right? What are some of the things, a little laundry list of things, just recreational boaters really need to have buttoned up and have their act together give us a few things that are you got to make sure that this is all correct.
Yeah, it's really important about the vessel to make sure that's in shape, and that generally comes down to your engine, your motor. And I'm a boat owner myself. You don't want to wait till June to figure out, because you won't get your boat out of the shop. But you know, there are things like a certain maintenance that happens at certain times, and you want to make sure it's done, mm-hmm. because if you're out snapper fishing 20 miles offshore and the impeller breaks, you know, it's a disaster.
That ruins your day at the least.
It sure does. But you know, there are other things, like you're supposed to have a fire extinguisher, you're supposed to have a horn, and you know, a boat is generally in an outside marine environment. Some of those things don't work. You know, you need to check those to make sure that they're safe and that they're still working.
Right.
So, you know, there's great resources with the, you know, the Marine Safety, Marine Patrol, that it kind of goes over that with you. But all of those things, just to make sure your boat is ready and it's navigable or whatever, it's safe, mm-hmm. because that's some of the worst things that can happen. And I, from time to time, I'll, you know, either somebody will tow me or I'll tow them if you boat enough.
You're on one end of that or the other, right?
Exactly. And it's a very memorable time. Usually it's something you remember fondly. It was an adventure, but it worked out. But that's what always concerns me, is when I have people in the boat that I'm responsible for, that I want to make sure that thing is working.
And you mentioned Marine Patrol, and you guys went right to the source, and I know you've had contacts with them forever, but this last year, drone video where you guys kind of did like mock pullovers, like Aaliyah, they pull your boat over and board your vessel, and you went through a lot of the ways to make sure you're prepared for if that happens and everything you need to have on the boat to be legal. We're going to have some of those videos running there at the boat show this weekend on our TV there at our booth, so if you're interested in checking that out, we'll have that available. One thing that we talked with License Commissioner Nick Matranga yesterday.
How about that? I had no idea.
And so I didn't realize it. I guess other coastal states have been doing this for some time. But in Alabama, you haven't had to have a title for the boat until after, if it was built after December 31st of 2023, you now have to have that title with your boat. And a big reasoning behind that, from what I understand, is because we have storms down here and boats go awry, things go awry, and they need to be able to know who owns that boat.
Yeah.
Does that affect, would that make it easier or more difficult for someone who's working a case, or does it have just no bearing?
Would to have the registration?
Yeah,
and
to have all that.
Well, you know, some of the, the hurricanes always present a bunch of business for everybody.
Yeah.
And after Hurricane Sally is the most recent one, where, you know, one boat gets loose and it wipes out six $100,000 wharfs. You know, and you absolutely want to see who's, you know, the registration and, you know, follow up with their insurance and things like that.
There's got to be a source for the accountability, right? Like,
exactly.
Who did this, right?
Exactly. And, you know, there's a certain, what they call salvage. There's an old maritime term about that, where, you know, somebody is, you know, has to get that wreck. It's no longer of any value, but it's it's a hazard to be sitting there.
Yep.
There's every so often there'll be a submerged vessel that causes a huge liability, a huge accident. Mm-hmm. So
you don't know it's there.
Yeah. But anyhow, the best day is when you get the boat, and then when this happens.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's if you spend a lot of time on the water, it's probably good to have someone in your phone who knows maritime law well, and that's certainly the case with Desi and the rest of the crew there at Tobias and Comer Law. If anyone's interested in checking you out, I know tobiascomerlaw.com, we talk about it often, but in addition to information about the firm, all kinds of great resources, stuff you don't get from most websites, great resources you can use on a manner of different things, and you can always call for a free consultation with that number listed at the website. Desi, we really appreciate you coming in, and looking forward to a big boat show this weekend. I know we've got some Tobias and Comer swag also, but those videos will be playing during the boat show this weekend. We're looking forward to it. Thanks for coming in.
Well, thank you. Good to talk to y'all.
Yeah, good to talk to you, Des. It has really good information here because it is. I mean, you're going to be on the water here sooner than later, and you got to make sure everything's safe and everything's legal, or you're kind of asking for trouble, pretty much. Thanks, Desi.
Thanks, Dan. Good to see you in Dalton.
It is 821, Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5 in Mobile Mornings.